Genesis 28, and we're going to finish up what we started last week, which was about the ascending and descending. I didn't quite finish up, and I think I need to close that up before we close up Jacob. Genesis 28, and this came from the question that Johnny asked about the ascending and descending, questioning, like, what's really going on here? We'll pick up there and read it and try to close it out today. Genesis 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Verse 19, he says, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. So we were looking at Jacob's vision, his dream, and what he dreams of is he's actually seeing the house of God being established on earth. That's what his vision is. It is a revelation of sorts of what is to come. That is, God is going to set up his headquarters, his throne on earth, and that will be the center from which he conducts business. The angels would be ascending and descending from that place. And we looked at John, so we'll look at John again. In John chapter 1, Jesus says the same thing in John chapter 1 when he's speaking to Nathanael. In John chapter 1, verse 50. Let's look at 49. John chapter 1, verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. This is the issue. The issue is the authority. Is who is the authority? Where is the authority going to be set up? Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Well, that hereafter hadn't showed up yet. It's been a long time since Jacob had his dream, and it's been a long time since Nathanael made that statement. So we're still waiting to see what the Lord says hereafter. And from us knowing right division, we know why that hereafter hasn't come yet. And we'll try to put that together today in this ascending and descending lesson. So back to Genesis 28, we see Jacob has his dream, and he says this place is the house of God, the gate of heaven. He called it Bethel, the house of God, and on the earth was set up that throne, with the throne would be set up on the earth. And the business of heaven and earth will be conducted from that spot from a man. In 28 verse 12, the ladder set up on earth, the ladder is that which connects the heaven and earth. And the Lord, we're going to say, we'll substitute that ladder with a person. And we'll say the Lord is the only one that's able to connect those two realms. And the way he's able to connect those two realms, not just the information that's being transmitted between the two places, but it's also the authority by which that information is transmitted. So two things. It's not only the transmission of information, but it's who has the authority to call those shots. And the Lord is the one who's able to do that. And that's why he can say to Nathanael, hereafter. There are some things that have to happen before hereafter. And Jacob, his dream is just it's a foresight of what's to come. He doesn't know what has to take place between his dream and the cross, we can fill in the blanks for that. And this is what we'll do. We'll try to finish this up. When Jacob has that dream, and there's other passages that talk about this ascending and descending, so we'll try to narrow ourselves to those and to look at it. And the next one would be Psalm 68, or the 68th Psalm. So let's look at that. Again, this is to establish a throne, to establish a kingdom. You're talking about establishing an authority headed up by the authoritative figure. And with the authoritative figure and the authoritative place, then you have people who are under the authority who carry out the commands and the will of the person that's in authority. 68 Psalm, we'll start at verse 1. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Now, this is the issue when you're establishing a throne. Most kingdoms don't come in without bloodshed. Now, it's sad to say that most people discredit Scripture and the God of Scripture by saying he's a bloody God because of the wars that he had on the Canaanite nations. But he's dispossessing those nations from his place, from his throne, from his sanctuary to establish his kingdom. First, and we're not going to read all this, but verse 1, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. Verse 7, O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah. When did he march through the wilderness?
Coming out of Egypt.
Okay. The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, ye shall be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. Think about, well, we'll go back there and look at it. Verse 18, let's just keep reading. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow and salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, an high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. If someone else is in your hill and you want that hill, what would you do? You'd take that hill back, wouldn't you? Remember we used to play the game, King of the Hill? Everybody would try to take that person off that spot. Whatever that spot was, they tried to move him from that spot. You didn't go up there and ask him, I like that spot. You'd have to take it. And they fought for it. And that's what the Lord does. He fights for his heel. Verse 17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Think about that statement, and we know that this is referring to Israel coming out of Egypt, so we need to go back and look at that in Exodus. When the Lord sends Moses to Pharaoh, he tells Moses what he wants. In Exodus, we'll go back to Exodus chapter, 6. Exodus chapter 6. Well, we better go back to 3 first. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 3 first. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Nope. Okay. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Exodus 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So he commissions Moses. He gives Moses the signs by which he is to operate. He tells him to show these signs to Pharaoh, and he goes in verse Exodus chapter 7. We'll skip over to there. Exodus chapter 7. Well, let me go back again. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. Exodus 6, verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with the stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. So the Lord is letting Moses know that you're getting ready to make good on my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are going to come out, your seed, to the place that Jacob dreamed about. And there I will govern you. I will rule you. That'll be my throne. That'll be my habitation. Chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7, start of verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies. Doesn't this make sense now? Well, I'm sure it did prior to this, but he's not letting them go without a fight. But the Lord, he's saying, these people, this is mine army. I'm going to bring forth mine army and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And we know how that story went. When you see the plagues that go through Exodus, and when they finally go through the last plague, this is what the Lord says in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Verse 16. Verse 12. Exodus 15, verse 11. I'm sorry. Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like unto... This is what happens when you get a bad start, right? You have to rush through, try to squeeze everything in and jam-pack a 30 or 40-minute lesson into about 20 minutes. Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Philistia. You know what another name of Philistia is?
Palestine?
Palestine, yep. Do you know what another name for Palestine is?
Israel.
Israel, that's a little broader, but we just read about them prior to. Bethel. Bethel, okay. That's what Jacob is. Bethel, it becomes, the Lord uses different names, Bethel, Shiloh.
Luz
at the first. But this place changes names, but it's still the place that he has decided to put his name there. And when I say put his name there, it's not putting up a street sign like we put up a street sign that says Holy Habitation right here. You know, I remember the pastor, when he visited different places, and was telling us about a place that he went to when he was searching. And the place, Johnny, the place said, Holy Ghost Headquarters. So he said, Holy Ghost Headquarters. He said, I'm going to have to visit that place. And it was not what he thought. And he said, I should have known better that the Holy Ghost Headquarters would be in this little shanty of a building. But when I say to put the name on there, it wasn't a place where he put the Lord's holy habitation. That was the seat of authority. The name is synonymous with authority. When the Lord gets the name above every name, we talked about it. It's not that his name was still, in Philippians, Jesus. But it's the authority that comes with the name, behind the name. And we'll look at that in a minute here. So, Philistia, it's Palestine, yes. It's Bethel, yes. It's Shiloh, yes. It's Jerusalem, yes. I would say it's even Eden, yes. We're seeing the fruition as it's being developed. We're seeing these things come to fruition. Verse 15. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, the mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them, all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as steel as stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. So you see, the Moses is commissioned by God, given the commandment to go in, to tell Pharaoh, to let his captives go. His captives, Pharaoh's captives, are the people that God has purchased. And when the psalmist says, thou hast ascended up on high, thou hast led captivity captive, the Lord is, that's his executing his battle plan to redeem his people. And he shared it with Moses and Aaron. The Lord came down. He gave that information to Moses. Moses gave it to Pharaoh, gave it to the people. The Lord executed that judgment, brought those people out of captivity. He led those captives captive. And he went to establish those people in his sanctuary, that now they will worship and serve him and not worship and serve Pharaoh. And nothing was going to interfere with that plan. And we see that. Not even Pharaoh. He thought he could, but not even Pharaoh. Nobody is going to spoil the plan of God. They don't have that much power. They don't have enough power. They don't have enough authority to override the Lord's predetermined counsel. So this is what happens in the 68th Psalm. We see the Lord is leading those captives out of bondage, liberating them, and they are going into that holy habitation to serve him. They should be happy, right? Everything should have been great for them. But we see that didn't quite work out, even for them being liberated. Now, that's one passage. And the next passage we'll look at is in Ephesians, where Paul uses the same thing. So we'll look at that. And we'll make a few statements before we get over there. The ascending and descending, again, we know that it has to do with the information that's to be believed. Notice when we were back in Psalm, in the 68th Psalm, it says the Lord, in verse 68th Psalm, verse 11, says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. The word was this. I was thinking about Rambo. They left him deserted at the camp. They told him to go and take pictures, and he went in and found the captives, and he was supposed to take pictures and just get out of there. Well, he went in there, and he took one back. When he defied the orders to take pictures, they left him stranded there. Anyway, he was getting ready to escape his captivity, and he made a radio call back to the base, and he told the guy, he published the word for the commander. He says, Murdoch, I'm coming to get you. And that's what the Lord published the word to those who had his people in captivity. I'm coming to get you, because I'm coming to get them. And when they published the word, just like Moses, he says, who shall I say sent me? When I'm coming to the children of Israel, who should I tell them is behind the word? And the Lord says, tell them that I am behind the word. I am that I am. That means don't worry about it. If I tell you I'm coming to get you, I have the power and the plan to come and get you. Just wait. So they don't have to worry about whether this plan will be foiled. He says, tell them I am that I am, and I'll be there. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Again, that's the what are they to believe? The Lord is coming down to deliver us. Okay, now we're back over to Ephesians, and Paul says the same thing. He uses the same terminology. Now, this is after Ephesians, is after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And God has delivered his people from bondage. Before we look at that, let's go back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, let's start at verse 1. Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. They're publishing the word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. You know, a mountain in Scripture is symbolic. What's that?
Kingdom.
Yes, it's symbolic of kingdoms. So they went away into a mountain that was appointed them. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now here is the Lord after his resurrection, after he has obtained a name above every name, the authority, after he has secured the authority in heaven and earth, he tells his disciples to meet him in the mountain appointed. Meet him, and really, that's meet me at the headquarters. Meet me at headquarters. And at the headquarters, after his ascension, Johnny, and his descension, he gives them information of what they are to go out and proclaim. And what they are to go out to proclaim is this: the Lord is resurrected, all power is in his hands, and we have his rules, his policy for you to obey. We have the word the king has given us to give you, to instruct you. He has paid the cost to be the boss, and this is what he's saying. Now, we just got a new manager. Our manager just retired at work. We just got a new manager. So now, everything the previous manager put in place, that could be all up for revision because there's a new authority now. In verse 16 through 20, when he says all power is given to him in heaven and earth, he means it. He has it. He earned it. Philippians 2 says he earned that name. He got that name by his work. Acts chapter 1, by his finished work. I might add that, by his finished work on the cross. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, they definitely asked the right question, because he has the power to do it, doesn't he? There's no reason why he shouldn't do it. as far as they're concerned, there's no reason why this should not be established. We know that thou art the Son of God. We know that thou art the King of Israel. We know that you have ascended on high. We know that you have accomplished all things to gain all power. So what's the holdup? And we know the holdup was because the dispensation of grace. As we progress, we can see why the delay, why the change, because there's others that the Lord had in mind. So we'll look at this part in Ephesians. That's where we get to Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start at verse 1. I think we can squeeze this in. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, think of this in terms of the Lord being the head authority and the believers being those who are carrying out his words and his will. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. Think of it that way, because that's the way that it is. Think of the Lord being the head and us being members of his army, if you will. Verse 4. Or chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner, captivity, captive, the prisoner, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So here it is again. It's the ascending and descending. And Paul is saying in chapter 4 that we're all one now. I'm trying to think of when you join the military, your individuality ceases to be. You are one unit, one company, and you're all together. Your identity, you may function as individuals, but they look at you as a unit. Even though you have different members in that company, they don't all have the same rank and authority. They don't have all the same function. Same way with the body. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And that is the portion of information that God has given. That's what you are to discharge. The portion of, especially at this time, when men were being supernaturally, equipped, if you would say it that way, supernaturally commissioned. When I say supernaturally commissioned, everybody today, most preachers, teachers, apostles, bishops today, they'll say, the Lord called me, the Lord sent me, and their level of knowledge is not what it, their word that they're publishing is not the word that the Lord says publish. So either we get some mixed signals from the commander or somebody is on the wrong side of the team. The Lord wouldn't give out some information for this man and then turn around and give contradictory information to this man, and they're in the same company. He's definitely not that disorganized. He's not disorganized at all. He's not the author of confusion. So we have to conclude that these apostles, bishops, pastors, and teachers that are sent out now, they are not called and sent in the sense where the Lord is explaining in Ephesians chapter 5:4. But he says, unto every one of us is grace given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, he's getting ready to explain to you this measure, the measure of the gift of Christ. Think information. Go back to Romans just for a quick moment here. Romans chapter 12. When Paul is explaining the different ministries, in Romans 12, I beseech you, 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is, get educated. Find out what God is doing. Get educated. Replace your old thinking with what he wants, because his authority that he has received by his ascension, it dictates what you are to believe and what you are to do. Blake, it dictates your worship and service. He purchased you, and he purchased the right to tell you what to do and say. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul says, I've been purchased. Lord, what would thou have me to do? He says, well, you go over here and it will be shown to you what you must do. And I will give you some information of how you are to conduct yourself here on out. And I will give you some information of how my people are to conduct themselves hereafter. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. How does faith come?
By hearing.
And by hearing?
By the word of God.
Okay. So whatever I have at this time, especially, whatever they were to fulfill their function, their office, they were to fulfill it according to the information that God had given them, that God had graced them, that God had gifted them. That's how they carry that out. That's how we carry it out today, according to the proportion of faith. That's not how much you believe. It's how much you know. It's how much you have learned, how much the Spirit has enlightened us on. Okay, Ephesians. Back to Ephesians. Finish up here. Ephesians chapter 4. But unto every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Quoting that verse again, led captivity captive. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, in bondage to the old man, in bondage to sin, he has led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? In order for Christ to ascend, like he said in chapter, I'm going to read this real quickly here. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, when you look at the ascending and descending again, it's for the purpose of carrying out information, sharing information, giving information, And it's all related to some aspect of the governmental function that's taking place or that's to come. So the reason why the Lord, when he's before Pilate, Pilate asked him, are you a king? And he said, in so many words, that's why I came down. For this cause came I into the world to bear witness to the truth. And Pilate says, what is truth? Don't you know that I have power to crucify you? And Jesus told him, and I'm paraphrasing this, he says, you have no power, but what's given to you. He came down to do the will of his Father. He did that. Philippians. I know I said we'll get back to, we'll get over there to Ephesians and close out, but Philippians, this says it all. Philippians chapter 2. Here's your ascending and descending right here. Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here's your descension based on information, based on God the Father's will for him. The Lord takes that information. He comes down. He fulfills his duty. He discharges his duty. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the authority to the glory of God the Father. That's it in a nutshell. You know, you talk about people climbing the corporate ladder. They're not literally climbing a ladder. We know that. They're ascending in rank and position and authority and power and influence. The Lord, he goes from having no place to lay his head to saying that this is all mine. It was made by me and for me. That's authority, isn't it? That's quite a bit of authority. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4, he says, what is it now that he ascended? What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And that's all these spiritual positions. In Exodus, when they came up, they came up out of Egypt by their armies. When it came up by their armies, they were separated into troops. When they came out into those troops, that was by design, and they were divided in a fashion where they would take the inheritance. It was sectioned off for them. And you see that in Joshua, where they are actually sectioning that land off for each tribe to go in and take. Those are all things, all these areas of the inheritance, all these positions. In this case, he says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And we're going to go back up and pick up verse 8, where he says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now drop down to verse 11. He gave gifts unto men, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When the Lord was crucified, resurrected, well, descended, crucified, resurrected, he has all power. He has power and authority, as I think it says in Luke, where the centurion, Jenny, the centurion, he says, I'm also a man under authority. I say to one man, go, and he goes. And I say to one man, do, and he doeth it. The Lord has, after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, he earned that right to say, go, and you go, do, and you do. And he gave gifts to men. And these gifts, notice this verse, apostles, you tell me what they have in common. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, what do they all have in common?
They're all publishers.
They're all publishers of what?
The word.
The word. And they go out and they share these gifts with men. And it's not just for saved men. It's also for unsaved men. They preach the gospel. It's life unto life to some, death unto death to others. But they're discharging the duty. He gave some, and this verse says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, this is how the Lord now is spreading this information to equip all believers in what he's doing, what he's done. And this is why you know, this is how you know that most, well, this is how you know that a lot of so-called apostles, bishops, preachers, pastors, and teachers, this is how you know that they went and they weren't sent, is because they don't have the right word to publish. At a minimum, it's the death, burial, and resurrection. At a minimum, where you can show the man the way of salvation. But after that, to be established in the truth, to be established in the present truth, they don't have that information. That's not the Lord's fault. He established those offices for the very reason that we suffer under today, is to dispel ignorance and confusion. Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, until Christ is formed in us, until his doctrine is formed in us, to what he wants is, I was going to say, second nature in us. In any situation, you know what verses that pop in mind. What should I do in this case? Where I'll say this, when the Lord was on earth, he didn't have to go find the scroll to find out what the Lord wanted him to do.
Paul says we have the mind of Christ.
Until Christ be formed in you. Right. We have the mind of Christ because it's recorded.
We have the access to it, whether we appropriate it, put it in us that the Holy Spirit can work with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is us growing into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's that image being formed in us, being renewed after the image of him that created us. So we can say, not my will, but his will. But you got to have his will in order to say, not my will, but his will. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that is each of us, after we get the information, the doctrine, after we're functioning in the doctrine, then we're able, just like those men in verse 10 and 11, we're able to share that information, that is the effectual working in us. We're able to share that information with other members of the body, and it goes to the edifying and the increasing of itself in love. It grows, it multiplies, it increases. And that's all because of what the Lord has accomplished in his descension and ascension, or his ascending and descending. The information that he has given us because of the authority that he has, and it's all related to how we function for the king in his absence, or even if he was here, how they were to function. It all has to do with following the authority, following the rules of him who has made the rules, following the instructions of the instructor, following the doctrine of the Lord through the people by whom he sent the information. That's our job. And Jacob, to tie that back in, when Jacob sees that, he doesn't see the finished product. And actually, we're still waiting for the finished product, for the Lord to establish his throne and for his worship and will to be carried out the way he intended it to be carried out. So we'll stop there, pick up again next week, and move forward in Genesis with Jacob. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our privilege we have to study together. We pray, as always, for more insight and enlightenment as we read these things, that our understanding might become more and more fruitful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.